All right, so we're on top of Ayin Tet tonight. So if you remember, we were discussing about the Givonim and how, and yeah, with David HaMelech, that he said that Jews and the Givonim were a people in Eretz Israel from a town of Givon. They disguised themselves and made a bris with Yoshua, a covenant with Yoshua, and they converted to Judaism. But they did it sort of with, like sneaky. They didn't tell him that they were from Eretz Israel. So he felt he once he made the bris, he had to, keep it. But apparently he said that the Jews, the Givonim, can't marry. So the Gemara is, that's the time of Yoshua. So the Gemara relates to an event in the time of David HaMelech. And there was a famine for 3 years. And David HaMelech asked Hashem with the Urim and Tumim. And the answer came down that the fast is Al Sha'ul V'Al Beit Adamim Al Shrei Midah Givonim. So it's because three lines from the bottom, on Ayin Chenud Bay, 78b, three lines from the bottom, El Sha'ul Shlon Espad Kalacha, is that Sha'ul wasn't, eulogized properly, and also he killed the Givonim, and then also Sha'ul had killed the Givonim. So the last line. So Amar David. So David said, "Shaul nafkulu praise the yarche shaka, lo darke in the mispadei." That it, with respect, in other words, we're being held accountable because we didn't give a proper hesped for Shaul. Shaul passed away nearly 30 years before. This is the end of David Melech's reign, and Shaul has been dead for many years. So he says to give a hesped now, the 30 years later, it's not shayach because after the 12 months, and Rashi brings down. On the second wide line of Rashi, Mishin Derek Kabbalah Spoda Far Yibay Chodesh. It's not Derek Kabbalah Yibay Hesped after 12 months have passed. A Karshne Kabbalah Temple Lame. In other words, then that's it. He says, Velo Dark in the Mispaday. But Netinim, so the other thing that they were being held accountable is that Shaul had killed the Givonim. So the Gemara explains that he killed Nov Ir Hakonim, and Nov Ir Hakonim were employing the Givonim, and they lost their whole Parnassa. So the Gemara says, Netinim, Nikrinu Nefaisinu. So Netinim, let me summon them, and then I'll appease them and try to make shalom with them. So Bach says, Miyad, Vayikra Melech LeGivonim. So the king, David Melech, called the Givonim, Vayomar Lehem, Ma'ayaseh Lechem, Uvamah Chaper, Barchu Et Nachalat Hashem. What can I do? And you give a bracha, and everybody can be happy. Vayomru Loa Givonim. So Givonim said to David Melech, we don't have any taina for money from the house of Shaul and his house, but we're not looking for, a sum of money. And he says, we're not seeking death from anybody outside the family of Shaul. He says, but we want seven of Shaul's family to be hung, and we want to execute them. And because we're upset about what Shaul had done so many years ago. So Mephias Philo Paisinos, but David HaMelech, he tried to appease them. This is really quite a request that they have in mind here. So David HaMelech says, Amar, Shoshasi Maningesh Umazu. There are three Mido in this nation. Okay, the Chevra's coming in. Let me just give a summary quickly. Okay, have a seat. Okay, welcome everybody. Okay, so. Okay, but I'm going to give you a summary of what we did so far. Okay, so we're on Ayin Tet Amud Aleph. So we spoke about yesterday that the Givonim, so we said that there was a famine in the time of David HaMelech for 3 years, and he asked the Urim and Tumim, and it came out, Al Sha'ul V'Al Beit Adamim, Al Sha'ul V'Al Beit Givonim. It was for Sha'ul that he wasn't given a hesped properly, and for the Givonim that he killed them, and the Gemara explains that he took away their livelihood. He killed Nov Ir Hakonim. They were employing them, so they lost their whole Parnassa. So the Gemara said, before you came in, the Gemara said that David said, look, to give a hesped for Shaul, he's been dead already for 30 years. It's not kedai to give a hesped now 30 years later, because the time for hesped is within 12 months. But with the Givonim, we'll try to appease him. So he summons the Givonim, and the Givonim said, look, we don't want money. What we want is seven members of Shaul's household. So let's take a look. We're on Ayin Tet Amud Aleph. So he says, on the sixth line, says Mephias Philo Paisinus. David HaMelech tried to appease them. They want to kill seven members of Shaul's household. Amar, David HaMelech said, Shoshasi Manim Yesh B'Umazu. There are three character traits of the Jewish people. Harachmanim, but Baishanim, Begomel, Chasadim. They have Rachmanis, that they, you know, are merciful, and they're Baishanim, they're like embarrassment. You know, they, this is Begomel, Chasadim, Begomel, Chasadim. Rachmanim, Dechtiv, and Atalach, Rachmanim, Grief, Melchav, Yerbecha. So it says, the Pasuk says, I think it's talking about the Yirani Dachat, that when you kill the members of the Yirani Dachat, Hashem will nevertheless give you Rachmanim. In other words, Derech of a person, the Or HaChaim says, when you kill people, so you become much more callous. But Hashem will give you Rachmanim and Yerbecha. By Shanim, Dechti Bavortia Yeratol Pneichem, it says by Matan Torah, that his Yira will be on your face. In other words, you have Yira, that's Busha. He says, Gomle Chasadim, Dechti Bamanashit Svebanavi Bitoach Rav, and then the Shemru Derech Hashem, so it's Tztaka Mishpat. That Avram Avinu's, you know, progeny will do Tztaka and Mishpat. Tztaka is like charity. So he says, Koshish Bo Shoshasim Mala, Ruli Debek Bu Mazu. So he says, anybody that has these character traits, so it's Ra'ui to cling to the Jewish people. In other words, you, Gibonim, I see you don't have the character traits. So he's going to, you know, put like a sort of machitza that the Gibonim can't marry within the rest of the Jewish people. That's what we're saying. So it continues on. So David HaMelech put the two sons of Rizpah Baraya that were Shaul's sons. That Armoniv at Miki Boshet, the Chamesh Bnei Michal Bat Shaul Shriel Gal Adriel Ben Barzian Mechulati, and five other sons from Michal Bat Shaul, and then so the Gemara says, "Vayshenahani, what? So how did he pick these seven? Like it's not the lottery you want to win, but how did he pick those seven? So Amar Rav Huna, Nevi Rumlofnei Aron. So Rav Huna says he caused them to pass in front of the Aron. He says, "Kol Sharon Kolto." Lamita, wherever the Aron detained, and I don't know how this works, but apparently, like you can't move, that means he's Chayav Mita. Well, Sha'ein Aron called to the Chayim. If the Aron let him pass, then he's for Chayim. So, Mati Rav Chana Bar Katina, by Achmola Melech Amofi Boshev Ben Yonatan Ben Shu'ul. So the Pasuk says that David Melech had Rachmanis on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was actually Shaul's grandson. So he says that David HaMelech had Rachmanis on Mephibosheth. He says, who was the son of Yehonatan, and we know Yehonatan and David were very good friends. He says, so how, if it's working out that he's passing everybody in front of the ark, and you're either detained or not detained, how could the Melech have Rachmanis one or another? This is it. So he says, Shalom have wrote. The Gemara says, means Mephibosheth, he passed all the members of the household in front of the Aron. Mephibosheth, he didn't. So is there a king allowed to exhibit such favoritism? So he says, Ella Shevirova Kalto. So the Gemara says, no. He took Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was detained by the Aron, who became of Rachamim Kalto. But then David Melech was Bakish Rachamim, and the Aron let go of him. But Kati Masopaniniyesh Badabar, it still looks like favoritism. Ella Shevikesh Rachamim Sholi Kotenu Aron. So the Gemara says, no. What it means is, he, David HaMelech, he was Mekal to Hashem before he passed Mephibosheth in front of the Aron. The Aron shouldn't detain Mephibosheth. That's what the Gemara is saying. So it means that, and then the way I saw this in the Sifta, that like everyone understands you can pray for somebody that it'll turn out well, but it's just like when it looks like, you know, the person has been detained already, and, you know, then it looks like I'm intervening, but that's what he did. So the Gemara says, Ta'ki volume 2 of Oro Banim Gomer. So, but how is this whole thing like Shemois? Like here, even in the worst case scenario, it was Shaul that did the killing of Novi Rakonim, and that was indirect with the Givonim. These are Shaul's, you know, family. They didn't do anything. And the Torah says, "Loyim tu avodo banim, lo banim avodo batam." You don't kill the sons for the heir of the forebears. So he says, "Amar b'chibur Abba Yochanan, mutav take care orachat min haTorah." Sometimes it's better that it should appear that the Torah is being uprooted, he says, and there shouldn't be a chilul Hashem, meaning that let's take a look at Rashi on this. The Aliyah Chalel Shem Shemayim, the 15th narrow line, to Yuhu Umot Omrim, that the Gentile nations shouldn't say, Ein Umazu Ru'im Lidabekba, like the Jewish people is not a good people to cling with, be involved with. They plundered, they mistreated the Gerim amongst them, the Gibonim. He says, they didn't do it. In other words, there's no justice in this nation. In other words, the king, he did a tremendous harm to the Gibonim, and he didn't let them, you know, take revenge. So here, what the article said is sometimes, like the Beis Din is allowed to punish somebody, you know, shelo al pi din, and here apparently that's what's going on. Of course, give me just 10 lines and or 20 lines and I'll pause, okay? So he says, so with two lines of where it gets wide. But Tikak Ritz Pabaraya had a sack. So Ritz Pabaraya took the sack, took like sackcloth, but Peilal had sewer, and she spread it over this rock. I don't know if it's like making like a little canopy for herself or something. To the beginning of the harvest, which Lepora would be maybe at Pesach or something like that, until the rains came down, like 6 months in the fall. She didn't let like the birds rest on the bodies during the day. In other words, she was like a shomeret for the bodies. So the Gemara says, how can you leave bodies out like that for 6 months? There was a Gibbon who wanted to kill them, but how do you leave them out like that? So he says, the Vav says, means by Haruge Bezdin, you're not allowed to leave the dead body on the tree. So Alachas Kamakama, it's a law for everybody. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rishim ben Yehotzadak. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the name of Rishim ben Yehotzadak, Mutav Shtei Kerach Atman HaTorah. It's better that it appear that like a mitzvah is being uprooted from the Torah, the Kadesh Shemayim Prahesi. So before, this is Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, before we're saying that there shouldn't be a Chil Hashem. Now he's saying that the Torah like appears not being done in order to have a Kiddush Hashem. To over the Shavim Omrim, because the passers-by, it means the non-Jews would say, Mativan Shalelu, who are these people who are like hanging here or whatever, dead? He said, so halalu b'nim lachmim. So they'll respond, this is like the royal family. Umasu, what did they do? What did the royal family do? So pashtu b'nim b'gerim arurim. They like plundered or they mistreated like the converts. And how does it translate? Rurim, gerurim, he says. Okay, so unaccepted converts. He says, amru, ein lecha uma shurim davek ba kazu. There's no other nation that's really to like cling to, like the Jewish people. If this is the justice that they do to the royalty, so a regular garden variety certainly would do justice. What do they say? Unacceptable gerim, they said? Unacceptable?
Yes, unacceptable converts. Yeah.
So Yisrael, so regular Yisrael, how much more they would treat properly? So he says, so immediately 150,000 non-Jews converted to Judaism. Shneamar, and we'll talk about because the Gemara said elsewhere that they didn't accept Gerim when time got to Shlomo. So we'll talk. Shneamar, by Hilus Shlomo Shivim Elf Nosei Sabal, that Shlomo Melech had 70,000 people who were like carrying burdens, and then 80,000 were pouring in the mountain. So the Gemara says, "The way Yisrael have, how did you know that those are non-Jews converts? Lo sakadaita. I wouldn't think those are the garden variety Jews. The people, but then Yisrael on a touch below Abed, that from the Jewish people, he didn't like put them into servitude or hard work. It would be like servitude. Shlomo Melech didn't. But Dilma, Bigzar Ba'ama, maybe means these are non-Jews, whatever that they has hired help or whatever." El Mehach, so the Gemara says a different pasuk will clinch it and prove that that's the Gerim. Now, so we quoted a pasuk in Sefer Malachim, and now we quote a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. By Spor Shlomo Kol Anashim Gerim, Asher Be'eretz Yisrael Gomer, Shlomo Melech counted all the Gerim in Eretz Israel, by Imtzu Me'a B'chamishim Elef Gomer, and they found there 150,000. They asked me, "Shiv Melef Sabal." He made 70,000 carries of burden. Mishmon Melef would say Bahar. So that clearly establishes that these people were the Gerim in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, All right, let me just pause for 1 second. Let me just do a little piece, and then I'll pause, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. So first let me pause. One second. So, all right. So the Gemara, this is from the Aladav, relates that the Givonim, converts from the nation of Givon, harbored a grudge against Shaul HaMelech because he deprived him of the source of livelihood, and he killed Novi Yerikonim to give him food, and it went unpunished, so presents the price in a poor light, it was good for Hashem. And anyway, you get the idea. So the Gemara relates that when David HaMelech satisfied the Reuben's commands of the Givonim, it was a great Kiddush Hashem, the nations were impressed that even converts were treated so barely. As a result, 150,000 Gentiles converted to Judaism. So Brisa cited on Ayin Vav and on Chavdalet. They had this early in the Gemara. So they said during the time of David and Shlomo Melech, converts were not accepted because they were assumed to be insincere in their desire to accept Judaism. So the Gemara says that in time of Shlomo Melech, that they're maybe converting because Shulchan Malachim. In other words, they think, oh, everything is so good for the Jews, so I want to convert. It's like helps me economically. And from David HaMelech, Rabbi Leibowitz said, I think they said that he's afraid, like, this would be so powerful, whatever. So in light of this price, that Tosfos on Kapdalid submits the 150,000 converts mentioned by Gemara were not genuine converts because they were not converted by Bezdin. Gemara means these non-Jews associated with Kal Yisrael may have practiced Jewish customs, but they were not accepted as Gerim. So Tosfos says, they weren't accepted Gerim, they're not really Gerim. Then he quotes, alternatively, the Rashba and the Rambam explain, these 150,000 Gentiles underwent their conversion, Princess of Beit Batidin, the Hadiotot. In other words, you have like the official Beis Din, where, you know, people are tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, and then Beit Din Shel Hadiotot, you know, gather three people together, and, you know, they know a little bit, but not so much. He says that even though the Brisa says that prospective converts during the reign of David HaMelech should not be accepted, if a Beis Din accepted them, their conversion is a lawful valid to give it after the fact. Rav Aaron Yaffin, in his gloss Ritva, points out that Tosos Amem Vav indicates that although today in the absolute Mumkin means like expert ordained judges, even a Beis Din of non-expert judges can execute Gerus. In biblical and Mishnaic times, that expert judges, only expert judges were qualified from Gerus. Thus explains Rav Yaffin, Tosos is not able to offer Rashba's answer that the converts in the time of David HaMelech were processed by Beit Din Shel Hadiotot. Is Tosos of the opinion in that generation such courts were not capable of executing Gerus. Therefore, Tosos was compelled to say 150,000 converts were not offended Gerim. But Rebar suggests another approach. He says that the general rule prospective converts were rejected in times of David HaMelech because they were suspected of coming to convert out of fear. Since David HaMelech conquered many nations rather than out of sincerely wanting to accept the mitzvahs and join Kal Yisrael. However, in cases where they could prove their sincerity, they accepted. So Rebar wants to say, in the general cloud is when I accept a gerim, but if a ger can show us that our concerns are not well founded, he's really a true blue ger, then we will accept it. So he says, however, in cases where they could prove their sincerity, they will accept it. The story of our Gemara was evident.
Could you slow down a little bit?
In the story of our Gemara, it was evident that the converts were motivated to join Kal Yisrael not because of fear, but because they were impressed by the just laws of the Torah and they desired to join such a holy nation. Therefore, Beis Din was permitted to accept them. Okay, so the idea is that we're not done with this yet, but David HaMelech saw that the Givonim, they don't have Rachmanis, they're not Gomel Chassadim, so we have to create a barrier between them and the Jewish people. So rabbinically, he's prohibiting them to intermarry with other Jews. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything this so far? Rafi, then everybody else. Go ahead, Rafi.
I understand that you want to punish. You go first.
Not somebody young, a grandchildren of Shaul HaMelech. Why do you
want
to pick somebody from a different generation?
Well, Shaul is dead. And
somebody from his generation.
They wanted the household of Shaul. That's what they asked.
Why somebody young?
Well, can I tell you I'm saying that if you're shopping around the house of household Shaul HaMelech, so the previous generation is dead. Okay, who's that? Wait, I think Aaron Moshe had something. Aaron Moshe, you want to say something?
Yeah, I wanted to say that when you're talking about Ian Dachas, and we got that Midah of Achsorius originally from Avram Avinu, the biggest Baal Chesed, but when it came to do the Rotz Nabayre, he's able to kill Yitzchak, his own son. Right. So that's the media of Sirius that was installed with us, which stayed with the inner Dach. I think also it says there by Pinchas, after he killed Zimri and Cosby, that because the Kanais was 100% for the Rosh Hashanah, he was able to come back to his natural self.
Right. Okay, so it means by Avraham Avinu, it said that the Gemara quotes Pasuk by Avraham Avinu, Domlei Chasadim, and then it's saying that even the people who are involved with killing the people in Yerani Dachan, Hashem will give you rachamim, you know, to make sure you don't have that, because that's really what your Midah should be.
It reminds me of the great quote that Golda Meir made when Manasseh was, when the Six Day War.
Right.
She said, I don't blame you for having for your soldiers killing our boys. I blame you for making killers out of my boys.
All right, the way I remember is we can forgive you for killing our boys, but we can't forgive you for making us kill you, whatever, something like that. Okay,
yeah, making murderers, killers out of our mind.
Okay, wait. Somebody here, then I'll come to you, friend. Okay, go ahead.
Number one, how can they come and force them? Come and give me seven people and kill them, no matter what was done or not, since when are we allowed to come and take people?
Right. Okay, so that's Daniel's asking, how can you kill anybody? So it seems like it's not following the normal rules of the Torah, but sometimes the Beis Din doesn't have to always follow the formal rules of the Torah.
A lot of people are going to die.
Well, that's acting on a ruchni level. But I'm saying a Beis Din normally follows rules of the court. But the thing is that sometimes the Beis Din can execute people even shlo al pi din.
And the second issue, here you're trying to come impress the goyim to try to have them and lure them to come Judaism. We don't want who wants them. It's a sapachad leIsrael. We are pride in 150,000 people came over there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The Gemara says the first time is to avoid Chilul Hashem, and the second time is to do Kiddush Hashem.
But even
I don't know. Now, Fern, what do you got for me?
What with the 12 months after which you're not supposed to give a hesed, is it
in other words, it means the appropriate time for Tanchumim to give comfort for mourners is 12 months. After that, it's not appropriate anymore, right? All right.
It's more appropriate to have no hesped than is to give one 12 months. Is that what you're saying?
Wait, repeat. I can't hear you so clearly. Repeat again.
Is it more appropriate after 12 months to skip the hesped than to not give a hesped bichlal? If for some reason, shatachak or something, you couldn't give a hesped during those 12 months, you're supposed to forget about it?
Yeah, I would, it's after it's 12 months, it's not so appropriate to give a hesped anymore.
Doesn't that's it go along with the Gemara that you can't cry after 12 months?
One is giving chavar acharon and one is bechi. Those are two different things, I would think.
But in other words, after 12 months, it's like, past the time for all the, I mean, people have, maybe an askar on a yard site or something like that, but it's not appropriate. Okay, I have to move on. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, let's back in the Gemara. Now, okay. So now the Gemara, we're five lines from the bottom, and Ayin Ted Amud Aleph. Unetanim David Gazar Lehem. So the Gemara is asking. So you're saying that the Gzeira against the Givonim was in the time of David Amalek. So the Gemara says Moshe Gazar Lehem, but Moshe Rabbeinu already made a gzeira against them. The thief mechotev etzecha an shuev memecha. So in, I think Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu says, mechotev etzecha an shuev memecha, from the hewers of wood till the drawers of water. So in the pasuk in Yeshua, it says that Yeshua made them mechot v'yetzim b'shoa v'mayim, with Givonim. So the way I remember, Rashi and Chumash says it teaches that the Givonim came over in time Moshe Rabbeinu and made peace with him, like under disguise, like they did in time Yeshua. So the article quoted that Bar Shah says here that a different one of the Kananim came. Please, somebody is unmuted. Okay, please mute yourselves. Okay, so the Bar Shah says that a different tribe came in time Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu set up a gzeira that they're going to be chot v'yetzim b'shoa v'mayim. So the Gemara says, Moshe Gazar Luhudara. So Moshe made a gzeira for that generation. If they come or when they act like this, they'll be called Beis Yishalimayim. David Gazar Luhudara. David was Gozer. In other words, It sounds like that.
Forever.
Yeah. So one second. Let me just make sure. One second. Give me 1 second. Okay. One second. Yeah, he says right. Yeah, right. So David, right. So Moshe Rabbeinu's gzeira only affected that generation. David HaMelech was making a gzeira that going in the future they're going to be chorfei eitzim and shorfei mayim. That's what it sounds like. He says Bakati Yoshua gazar layu, but we see that Yoshua made the gzeira. This is the tibay name Yoshua by Yomahu chorfei eitzim and shorfei mayim laydal mizbach Hashem. And he made the Gibonium for the Ada, for the congregation. It was like stood up like a slave, you know, role. And for the Mizbach Hashem, Yeshua Gazar, Mizbach Mikdash Kiyam. Yeshua made a Gazera, this be true when the Beis HaMikdash is in existence, or, you know, the Mishkan. This is David Gazar, Mizbach Mikdash Kiyam. David made a Gazera, and even after the Korban Havayah, there'll still be Chotrei Yeh, Mesheva, Meshove Mayim. So on the top line of the Gemara on 900 Bays, the Gemara says, Bimei Rebbe, the time of Rebbe, which is after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, so there was like an idea that they should be matir the Netinim, and it was free them from this like work of Chotei Yechim V'Shovei Mayim, and matir them also to come B'Kahal. So he says, Amar Lehem Rebbe. Rebbe said to them, to the proponents, Chalkeinu Natir, Chalkeinu Mizbeach Miyatir, we can free up our chelek. In other words, like they were made chotveis for showing mayim la'ida for the congregation. So our chelek, we can free them up for, but they were also made for the Mizbeach Hashem. Can we matcha that? And so it means that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, we can't be matcha that. The uplig of the Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba. The Rebbe's opinion is in contradistinction to Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba. The Amar Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba of Yochanan, chelek eida li'olam asur. Yochanan says the chelek of the eida is in perpetuity, but that the people could be matcha that. But chelak mizbeach was mashmit shchiyam asur imit shchiyam shayar. Sorry. So in this version, Rabbi Yochanan says that if there's no base of mikdash, the only thing left is your chelak. So if they choose, they can be matir their chelak and then apparently allow them to marry in Klal Yisrael. That's what we're saying. Okay. Okay. Who's the question?
It says something here. It says that the bet din here.
Right.
So if there was a great need, they would be able to come and do it. But it wasn't such a great thing, therefore they did not do it. That was, they would be able to come and let them off, even for the Mizbeach.
Which line are you going on?
This last
the last one.
Talking about.
Yeah, so the
but they says, didn't.
It's wait. It says that there's no chiyuv for the Beis HaMikdash, so there's only their chiyuv. But it says the Bet Din, right, Hefker, right.
Right? So it, based on what I read here, is that they're able to come even to matir the part of Mizbeach. There's a great need, but there wasn't a great need.
Okay. Now, over here, he says in this footnote that Daniel gave me, he said, the Kavan is not that he would be allowed to come to Kahal. He just wanted to release them from their servitude. That's what he says in the footnote. So that's what he says over here. In the Torah, he says, let me see. I need to look more on this. Because this is by name Yehoshua, that's why they call Natinim.
Yeah, tonight.
Okay. Okay, what's up? Say again, what?
Yevoni went to Yerushalayim on the other regular.
Wait, say again, what? Right.
Go to Yerushalayim.
10 times a year. Well, so Lakora, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question. In other words, here they're saying like they're avadim, and it sounds like they have a din like an eved kanani Lakora. So does an eved kanani would be chayv mitzvos like a woman? I don't know exactly what their status would be, you know, beforehand. They've accepted like a type of geirus, but it sounds like they're like a type of avadim. So if they're like women, so I don't know. I don't think women are chayv and aliyah the regel. So then they wouldn't have gone Lakora. I'm not sure though. Okay, all right. Let's go further in the Gemara.
They work for the kohanim and milk.
So it means they're working. They're in servitude for the Beis Hamikdash.
No, before all this, they were working. That's why they got upset.
Who said again what?
Yevonim.
Why?
They were working for the kohanim of Noam.
Right. That was their employer. Those were their employers.
Out of job, out of money, out of food. When they
right, right, okay. And there was the kohanim were giving them the food. That was the whole parnasa. Now I have them, no parnasa. Okay. So now up to the next mission. Now everybody with me. Okay. So the sixth line. Manitin, I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Shemati, Shasaris Cholates for Chotzen Leishto. Saris is a person who's sterile. So I heard from my Rebbeim that a Saris does Chalitza, or if he was married and he died, he'd do Chalitza for his wife. And I also heard, Basaris lo Cholates for lo Chotzen Leishto. I heard the other way around, that the Saris doesn't do Chalitza, and you don't do Chalitza for his wife. Bein Lefarish, I don't know how to explain these two contradictory statements. So I'm Rabbi Akiva ani apart. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll explain it. Sris Adam. Now, Sris Adam means like he was, let's say, castrated or he suffered some injury. So originally he was a healthy person and then he became a Saris. So Rabbi Akiva says, Sris Adam, Choleitz v'choltzen le'ishto. So we would do Chalitza. So he would do Chalitza. In other words, he would do Chalitza for his brother's wife. If he's married, he'd do chalitza for his wife. And then shaital shara kosher, because at one point in time he was in the parsha. Now we don't know what the whole pshat is going to be, but it's going to come out at the end. At this point, he's a p'tsua daka, because in other words, he's in the parsha of yibum and chalitza, but he has another problem. He's a p'tsua daka, so as a p'tsua daka, he can't do yibum with the widow. So he's just going to do chalitza with her. That's the what's kind of the gemara is going to be, but we don't know this yet. Sris Chama means if he was Sris from birth. And he's called Sris Chama. Remember, Libus was explaining this. The Gemara on the beginning of the next daf says that how to become a Sris, like his mother, when she was pregnant, was exposed to a tremendous amount of heat. Or Sris Chama can mean from the time, like he never saw a day that he wasn't a Sris. In other words, when the time he was exposed to a Chama, he was a Sris. So Sris Chama means congenitally, lo choleis v'lo choltzen le'ishto. Then he's not involved with the parsha of chalitza, and they don't do chalitza for his wife. With 1 minute, and they slow I tell shut a kosher. He didn't have a time when he was ever in the parsha, that was where he ever could have conceived a child. Now, Reb Lezer Omer, Loki, Reb Lezer disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. He says, Ella Sris Chama Choleis V'Chotzen Leishto. He says, just the other way around. He says, the Sris Chama, you do chalitza. In other words, his reproductive organs are all there. They're just not working. So maybe he could have a refua. Sris Adam, but the person, let's say he's been castrated or suffered some grievous injury, lo cholis for lo chotzen leishto, mnesha ain lo refua. He has no refua for that. So he doesn't do that. You don't do chalitza for him, and he's not in the parsha at all. So with two, you know, diametrically opposed opinions. So the Mishnah says, Eid Rabbi Shuba Matera, Aben Megusat. So Rabbi Shuba Matera gave ages concerning Ben Megusat, a person, Shayab Yerushalayim, Sri Saddam. He was a Sri Saddam. So he's trying to bring a proof for Rabbi Akiva. So he was a Sri Saddam. He was castrated. We give him with Ishto, and they did Yibam for his life. So he's not the Yavam here, but the idea is it goes hand in glove together. If a person's in the Parsha, you know, it says on the one hand, it says, Glo Yimachesh Mo Yisrael. But his name shouldn't be blotted out from Klal Yisrael. So he's saying that the Sris Adam, if he's in the Parsha for Yibam, then he's also in the Parsha to do Yibam or Chalitza. But Yibam with Ishto, they did Yibam for his wife. In other words, he was Sris Adam, he was married, and they were Miyabeng his wife. The Chaim Divrei Be'akiva. Now, then the Mishnah says again, and the Gemara is going to explain why this is, but not today, Hasris lo cholitz v'lo miyabeng. The Sris can't do chalitza and can't be miyabim. So it's going to come out, and this is what Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, the Gemara is going to improve from here. That means, like, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's a Shris Chama is lo cholish lo miyabe. V'chein Iloni lo cholish lo miyabe. And it was just like the Iloni is from birth, so to the Shris here is from birth. And here the Tana is passing like Rabbi Akiva. So it's like a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. So he said that the halakha follows Rabbi Akiva, that the Shris Adam is in the Parsha, but he does Chalisa, he doesn't do Yibam. And the Shris Chama is totally out of the Parsha. So first we follow Rabbi Akiva because his bar plug is Reb Lezer, and Reb Lezer is Shemuti, you follow Rabbi Chama, that's the Ferem. Also, there's a Stam Mishnah here this way. There was another reason I don't remember. Now, he says, Hasarisha Kalatsi Yavimto. Now, let's say the Shris. Now, here he's talking about the Shris Chama. So it's the Shris Chama. So he's not in the Parsha to do Chalitza, but let's say he went through the Chalitza ceremony, Lo Pasla. So now the widow that he did Chalitza for is not a Chalutza. In other words, she was an Almana. So she doesn't have a dinner of Chalutza, Legabe Kohen, because somebody who wasn't Chayef do Chalitza with her. In other words, she was married to Reuven, was a healthy man. Reuven died. He left a brother, Shimon. Shimon is a Shris Chama. From birth, he's a Chama, and Rabbi Kiba holds not in the Parsha of Chalitza. But Shimon went did Chalitza. So she's low pasla. He didn't pasla her for marrying a Kohen. Baala pasla, but he has a bia with her, then he pasles her from a Kohen, because really the bia he's having with her is not b'mako mitzvah, so it's an Easter arayo. He says, "M'nei shehi b'latznut." B'chein ailonit shechaltu la'achim, similar to the ailonit, in other words, let's say the widow was an ailonit, and the surviving brothers do chalitza with her, Lo paslua, they didn't pasla her for marrying a Kohen because she's not in the partial chalitza. Ba'alua, but if they have relations with her, paslua, should be latah bilatzinot, because that's a bilatzinot. Okay, so the basic idea we learned in the Mishnah is that we're going to focus on Rabbi Akiva, that if it's a sris adam, it means either he was castrated or he suffered some injury, but at one point in time he was a healthy man, he's in the parsha of Yibam and chalitza, but he should do chalitza, he shouldn't do Yibam because he's also a Psuadaka, and a Psuadaka is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. Okay, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts, anything I did so far?
The other one has not married?
Who? The Shris Chama what? No, we said the Shris Chama is anatomically, he looks fine. So I don't think he's a Psuadaka, but he can't bear children. So apparently, I know. Well, you do marry for children. I don't know what you're saying. All right.
The Ilad's note, it talks about basically karet.
Say again what, repeat.
The Ilad's
right.
It's because of the karet, not just because it's not.
Yeah, but there was, as a result of that, she gets a din. Okay. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, now again, we're going to focus on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, if it's a Shris Adam, so he's going to do chalitza. His Shris Adam, he's going to do chalitza with the widow. So Michli, Shemin Le Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Chayvei Lav, and Chayvei Krito Damar. So we learned within the Shita, remember we had a Gemara earlier, who's a mom's there, and Rabbi Akiva held, we had three opinions within the Tana Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara assumes Rabbi Akiva holds the Chayvei Lav, and Chayvei Krito Damar. In other words, if the widow is somebody that chayv kare, like the first mission in the Masechta was, I don't do Yibam, I don't do Chalitza. It's out of the Parsha. But according to Rabbi Akiva, even if there's a chayv lav involved, it would be a mom's heir. So there's no mitzvah any there. So he says, v'chayvei kritu lav and chalitza v'yibam v'nu. So how could the Shris Adam do Chalitza? He's not in the Parsha. In other words, there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza for him, because it's an Easter lav with him, it's a psuadaka. So Amar Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami says, what are we dealing with in the Mishnah? So Rabbi Ami says, and the Gemara is not going to stay with this, he wants to say that when Rabbi Akiva says that Shris Adam does Chalitza, it's talking about where Reuven, the deceased brother, married a Giyoret. He married a convert to Judaism. So the convert is permitted to marry the Psuadaka, because if we hold that Kal Gerim Loikri Kal, Kal Gerim is not called the Kal, so lo yivo pso abdaka, but Kal Hashem doesn't include gerim. He says, Sabra le Rabbi Yossi, Damar kal gerim lo ikri kal. He holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says that the kal gerim is not called the kal. So therefore, he's in the parsha for Yibam and Chalitza. So the word says, Ihaki Yibam and Namim Yabim. So if that's the case, it's not the way I explained it. So if that's the case, then he can even do Yibam. He's not limited to Chalitza, because he not going to have a Pesuadaka, but a Pesuadaka can marry Gioret. So Inakinami, the Gemara said, yeah, Taki, you're right. But I did the Amar Rabbi Yeshua Cholaitz. The only reason Rabbi Kiva mentioned that he can be Cholaitz is that's what Rabbi Yeshua said, Cholaitz. Rabbi Yeshua, I heard these two contradictory statements. He says, Amar Yunami Cholaitz. So the way we're going right now is the Mishnah is talking about a limited case where the brother married a Gioret. But Inakinami, any other case, then Rabbi Kiva would say, you don't do Cholaitz, you don't do Yibam, even with the Sris Adam, because the Sris Adam, it would be a chi of lav. So he says here, Dekanami de Katani, we could deduce this from a careful reading of the Mishnah. It says, Hey Rabbi Shu Bemeteral Ben Megusat Shabi Rishlaim Sris Adam, that Rabbi Shu is trying to bring proof for Rabbi Akiva, said that Ben Megusat, who was a Sris Adam, the Yibmu Adishto, and they did Yibam with his wife, and the Gemara figures that it would, you know, both be sort of like reflected, one and the same, although you can ask questions on this. The Kayim's of Rabbi Akiva, Shwami now. So the Gemara takes it, Taka, that would be the Pshat Lum Rabbi Akiva. So Mativ Rabba. So Rabba poses a kasha against this from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, so again, so we're saying within Rabbi Akiva, if it's not a Gioret, there's no Dina Khalif, there's no Dina Givam. Just 1 minute. So Mativ Rabba. Rabba asks a question from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Suadako Krut Shafta. If you have a psuadaka or a chutshafta, psuadaka is wounded, chutshafta, psu means he's wounded, or daka is crushed, and chutshafta, the aver is cut off. Srisadam, or Srisadam, that's the one we want to focus on, the hazakein, or the very elderly man. O choltsin, o miyamin. They can do chalitha, or they could do yibam. Now, it's going to come out that this brisa is like Rabbi Akiva. Ketzad. Now, remember, like here we're saying that there's a mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza of the Sri Saddam. So according to Rabbi Lazar, there is no mitzvah with him. So he says, Ketzad, Meitu V'lahem Nashim. So the first case is, they're the deceased brother. He says, V'lahem Achin, and they have healthy brothers that survive them. V'abdu Achin V'asu Ma'amar B'nashoteim, and the brothers did Ma'amar with the widow. Or V'natnu Get, or they give a get to the widow. It means it sets you up in line. Nobody's going to do Yibam with her now. O Shechaltzu, where they do Chalitza with her. Masha Suasu, Bimbalu Kanu, and if they have Bia with her, then they could acquire her. Now, Meitu Achin, Vamdu Hain. Now, here's the other case. Let's say a brother, a healthy brother, dies with a wife. Vamdu Hain, Vasumam, Bernustam. Now, different case. And now, the Sris Adam is the one who's doing Mamor with the wives. Or Vanatnu Get, or they're giving a get. O Chaltsu, or the Duchalitza, Masha Suasu. That is like a legally valid action. Bimbalu kanu, and if they do bia, even though there's, you know, maybe they shouldn't do the chakir, but do bia, they acquire her asur the kaiman, but they're not allowed to keep the wife. Mishum shenemar lo yivob asur the kachut shufa b'kal Hashem. So we said, we thought that within Rabbi Akiva, if you have a sris adam. There's no mitzvah of chalitza, no mitzvah of yibam, because there'll be a chi of lav involved. This brisa seems like it goes like Rabbi Akiva, and yet he says there is a mitzvah. So alma b'kal askinan. So we see we're dealing in this brisa with the kal, and we still have a mitzvah. So elam rabba. So rather, rabba says we need a new pshat in the Mishnah. So elam rabba, to go on shenafa lo b'sof nifta. So rabba says maybe the case of the Mishnah is that at the time of Reuben is married to Rachel. At the time of Reuben's death, Shimon was a healthy guy, nothing wrong with him. And subsequent to the death of Reuven, so there was a mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza, but then subsequently, in before he did Yibam or Chalitza, he became a Pesuadaka. So since in that case, he had the Chiyuv, therefore he has to do Chalitza, but otherwise not. So that's what we think. So in other words, there's a mitzvah, and now he became a Pesuadaka. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye again. Abaye is his nephew and his Talmud. Amalei Abaye. Late to Yisro Pesuadaka. Even if the Yibam, even in that case, even if the Mitzvah Yibam came first, let the Isur Pesuah Dakah come and override it and say there's no mitzvah now. He says, Milo Tnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, in this Mishnah we had earlier, now it's talking about two brothers married to two sisters. So in this case, we're going to talk about Reuben and Shimon and two brothers, as usual, and they're married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. So Reuben marries Rachel. Rachel is 25 years old. And Shimon likes the family so much, he marries Rachel's sister Leah, but Leah is 10 years old. Okay? Then Reuben dies, and now Shimon has got the Zika with Rachel. But now he's got a difficulty here. If he does Chalitza with Rachel, he can't even stay married to his own wife, because she's going to be a Chol Chalitzato. So this is here. So this is the Milotan. So Lila says, look, if Leah does Mion, she has a way to say, I'm out of this marriage. So then fine, then all problems are solved. And he doesn't want to be blocked off from the family, so then he can do whatever he wants. Bimlav, but if she doesn't want to do Mion, Tamt, so now, again, he initially has a chiyuv of Gibbon and Chalitza. But you see, he'll wait until Ashtagil, until she becomes older, until Leah becomes older. But to say, and then he'll have relations with her, the shame Kiddushin. And then Rachel will be exempt from Yibam Chalitza, Chodisha. So you see that even though the mitzvah of Yibam was first, there's an intervening, you know, later on became Achodishto, so that trumps the earlier mitzvah. Alma Ata Easter Achodisha Vadachi, Achanami, Neti Easter Psuadaka Vadimke. So to over here, even though he was healthy at the time that his brother died, he became a Psuadaka, the Psuadaka trump everything. So Ella, so we're closing in on the chat. Elamar of Yosef, Haitana, Haktana to be Rabbi Kivahi. So the Gemara says, we made a mistake in our assumption. The Tana of our Mishnah is the following. Remember, within Rabbi Akiva, there were different pshatim. What does Rabbi Akiva hold? Who's a mom's there? So one pshat was Rabbi Akiva held, even if it's an Easter essay, it's a mom's there. Another pshat was any lav, it's a mom's there. But in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva said, it's a lav de she'er, a lav that relates to an incestuous relationship. Is the Amar Mechai B'Lavin to She'er Avi Mom's there? So he holds, this Tan of our Mishnah holds, the Rabbi Kiva holds, that in other words, the Kiddushin wouldn't be Toface if it's a love that relates to a close relationship, She'er. But Suadaka and a woman is not a love to She'er. So he would hold that he is in the Parsha of, so he can't, he shouldn't marry her, but he's in the Parsha Yibam to do Chalitza with her. So okay, so now let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause and digest. So Ikri Khan, so the Gemara says, why don't we say, look, we have a, here he's a Sri Saddam, and we're going to come through Chalitza. So why don't Ikri Khan, Lakim Lakim Shem, Hala Bar Hafiu? Why don't we say, look, he's not in a position to have progeny, so why does he have anything with Chalitza with this? Amarava, Im Kane, in other words, at one point in time, he was, you know, fertile. You know, he was able to do it. Now he can't. So Amarava, Im Kane, if you assume that you were once able to and now you can, Ilcha Isha Shir Liyabam, Sila Sabbala Shrizkama Shachat Kodalumitato. Now here he's using the term Shrizkama in a different fashion. He means nobody would ever have Yibam or Chalitza because 1 hour before the husband dies, assuming he's dying in his bed, that, you know, he's ill. So he's ill, you figure he's not like, you know, fertile at that moment. So if I say that if a person was fertile and then became infertile, that he's not in the Parsha for Yibam, so then if he's not in the Parsha for Yibam, then the same thing goes with the husband, so there'd never be a case of Yibam. So the Gemara says, the Reb Lezer, Piruka de Rava Pirchahi. So the Gemara says, this answer that Rava gives, which is a nice answer here, will be a kash against Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer holds that a Sris Adam is out of the Parsha of Yibam and Chalitza. But, so how does he say, what about everybody who's on the deathbed? So he says, Hatam Kechishuta Dachilabe. So the Gemara says, Reb Lezer will say that when a person's on his deathbed, it's just like a general weakness. It's not like a Sris Chaba, it's not something like that. And you know, Tsunami, otherwise it's potent. Okay, let me finish the whole sugya, and then we'll take questions, okay? So now the Gemara says on the bottom line on Ayin Tenu Beis, Heichi Dami Sris Chama. Now, we said Sris Chama is somebody who was never fertile. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Yochanan, Kol Shlo Ra Shachat V'Kashruto. he never, in other words, his whole life, he was never able, you know, to bear a child. So Menayad, you know, how do we know whether he is or isn't? So Amar Abaye, Mayim Veino Sekipa. Anybody, if a person urinates and he doesn't make an arch with his urine, then you know that he's that situation. So the Gemara says, Hilayhadi. What does this come from? The Avya Ime Batira, the Shatashifra Markup. His mother, when she was pregnant, baked bread in the middle of the day. It means like the oven's hot, the bread's hot, the day's hot. He got overheated. Yeah. That was like Sri Skama. We remember we said at the beginning. That's one shot. He says, and she ate and she drank Shifra Marka, this type of beer. He says, Rashi says, Sheikhar Mazub. It's like a strong beer. She had a strong beer. He says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hainu D'Shaman Ali. So Amar Rav Yosef, Hainu D'Shaman Ali Ami, D'Amar Kol Shmei Imo Lakui. He says, now I understand. I heard Ami, Rabbi Ami say, anybody who comes from Mei Imo is Lakui. In other words, like he's from birth, Lo Yadan and Mai Ni. I didn't know what caused it. In other words, so now he knows what caused it. That's one shot we have. Or the other shot is, I already mentioned that you're lakui emo, I didn't realize what halakha he's referring to. And now I realize he's referring to the halakha, you know, from our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, so again, now, if he's a Sri Skama, again, focusing on Rabbi Akiva, so there's no mitzvah of chalitza. So, v'leichush dema hibri ben atayim. Now, but maybe he became, maybe he was a Sri at one point in time, then he got cured, and then became a Sri again. How do you know in between? In other words, maybe at birth, you know, he's this way now, you know, but how do you know maybe in between it was at Mavri, and it'd be a little bit in between, and he was the Parsha. So the Gemara says, came to Tov so Lakui, since at the beginning point and the end point, we know he's a Sris, Lo Chayshin. We're not Poshes in the middle, something changed in the time period. So Matev Ramari, so Ramari posed a question from the following Mishnah Masechet Bechorot. Now, here it's talking about if you have a Bechor, and the Bechor's got a Mum, so that's, that helps the Kohen out, right? He gets to, you know, just eat it right away and not bring it in as a korban. So Rafa Mamari, the Kohen ben Atikas Omer, both Kenotos Shlosh Pamim. So one of the Mumim is just like his eyes are spotted or something like that. It's more like it's an animal, but it's a little bit closer to your field, Daniel. So he says, so both Kenotos Shlosh Pamim, Betoch Shmonim, Yom. So we check the animal at the beginning of an 80-day period, at the end of an 80-day period, and in the middle of an 80-day period, and if all three times, then he's a Baal Mum. He says, but just beginning and we don't do it, because maybe in the middle, it was Mum Over. So we see that sometimes you have the Mum in the middle and then Mum in the end, but in the middle, it could be Over. How come I'm not worried about it here? So the Gemara says, L'chad Aver Chashinan. If it relates to one Aver, like the eyes, then we'd be kosher, something happened in the middle. But L'kula Gufa Lo Chashinan, but if it's the whole body not, the Gemara takes it, when he says Sri Skama, it relates to the whole body. Okay, let me just summarize what we did again, and then we will take some questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we will talk. Okay, so we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva says if a person's a Sri Adam, means he was born healthy, and then something happened to him after birth, he got injured or castrated or whatever, so then he's in the Parsha for Yibam and Chalitza, but we learned that it came out in the Maskana that he shouldn't do Yibam, because he's a Psua Daka, and a Psua Daka is not a Kahal, so that he shouldn't do the Yibam, but he has to do the Chalitza, because it's in the Parsha of Chalitza. Then the Gemara asks, but doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that anybody who's a Chiv Lav, it's like the Chikare, and there's no Mitzvah Yibam, no Mitzvah Chalitza. The Gemara says, this Tana doesn't hold that way within Rabbi Akiva. This Tana holds that Rabbi Akiva holds only if it's a Lav to share. It's a Lav that relates to like the close familial relationships, but if it's not a Lav to share, then in a Chinami, Kiddushin would be Topes. Then the Gemara says, how could he be in the Parsha? It says, Lakiv Lakiv Shame. The whole purpose is, you know, to bring a name to his brother. So he says, if I do it that way, so no, there's no Yibam for anybody. In other words, because every person who dies, like for his death, you know, he became like, you know, maybe feverish or something like that and wasn't able to bear children. Okay. Then the Gemara says, who's the Sri Stama? So he said, a Sri Stama is from the get go. You had this problem. And then how do we figure it out? The Gemara gave a clinical test how to figure it out. And then the Gemara said, maybe I'm concerned that he got healthy in between. How do you know that he's healthy in between? He's in a different Parsha, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says that if he was sick at the beginning, sick at the end, so that's what we'll assume. But by the animals, we'll do a little different. Okay. Oh, wait. I have 10 seconds for questions. Okay. Who's got questions? You have a question? Questions. We'll make it one and we'll go. Give me your best question. Your best point. All right. Let me hear.
So Kurchovka, first of all, normally he has no git. So the fact that he was able to boel, they said if you have a remnant and still count. And
next point.
Over here. You're talking about nobody's ever able to come and be fertile. What if he died in the middle of the act? Right? You can come and say that it was.
Wait, I don't see say.
We said that every person before he dies, he's not able to bear children. So
yeah, yeah, he means like no.
Maybe he died in the middle of the act. Of
No. He means like, let's say a person is like, you know, the Gemara is assuming like you're sick on your deathbed, things like that.
All right.
At least you cannot say always. Okay, one second. Let me end the recording. One second. Let me.